Let's go ahead tonight and turn our Bibles to Daniel chapter 11 and Revelation chapter 13. Daniel 11 and Revelation chapter 13. I need to come back tonight to bring a brief update and actually a warning about the ongoing frontal assault and attack on God's people that's being made by the devil's crowd via the UN / World Health Organization's COVID-19 scamdemic / fake pandemic. As mentioned in my message two Sundays ago, unmasking the scamdemic. Despite the fact that the data shows that the average U.S. death rate for deaths caused by the COVID-19 virus to be in a steady decline since mid-April when the death rate peaked, and is in fact following a typical curve that we'd expect to see for any infectious respiratory illness such as influenza. The relentless media hype and government-imposed social distancing and masking requirements continue unabated with no end in foreseeable sight. And in fact, as mentioned, the push is on to marginalize and even to demonize those of us who see through all the fraud of this alleged pandemic and refuse to wear a mask. Tonight, I need to add that that push has now been put into higher gear by the fearless leader of the American empire, Mr. Donald J. Trump, who said at his press conference yesterday regarding the alleged pandemic that things are going to get worse before they get better. And though we don't like it, we all have to start wearing masks now. And he also reiterated that he is preparing to have the American military distribute and administer the so-called vaccine that he is having prepared. In Revelation 13, we read these words in verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat, and great authority. So we've studied this passage of scripture several times in the past. This, of course, is the same prophetic here in Revelation 13:1-2. We see the same prophetic symbolic language that we see in Daniel chapter 7, because this is in fact the very same beast that we see in that chapter. And we therefore know without question that this beast here represents a revived global empire that is to be aligned with and dominated by Rome, just as is the American empire of our day, as it leads the UN / New World Order from its headquarters in New York and Washington, D.C., as Rome's vassal state and military arm. We read in verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wandered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. Verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. They obviously will not worship this beast. Verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. Verse 10, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And in that sense, I think in this context, that means that we are not to be living by the sword. Jesus said, this is the same thing Jesus said, all that take up the sword will die by the sword. Verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, looks like a Christian. But then we see that he spake as a dragon. And he exercised, verse 12, he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had their wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Verse 16, and he causeth all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the number of the beast, or the number of his name. Verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Next, I want to turn over to Daniel chapter 11 and read a selected passage from that chapter that we've also reviewed very recently. In verse 21, we read, and in his estate, the former king, the former empire, shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And this we have from our prior studies, we know this is not an ancient ruler such as Antiochus Epiphanes, as Bible-twisting preterists today like to imagine. This is a reference to the Antichrist that will take his stand just prior to our Lord's return. We read that in verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword, by flame, and by captivity, and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries, or in insincerity, make-believers. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, for it is yet for a time appointed. And so many of them of understanding will be purged, and they'll be purified through the fires of persecution. Yesterday at about 5 p.m., Donald J. Trump held a press conference in which he announced that due to the alleged second wave and renewed outbreak of the alleged COVID-19 pandemic, that we all need to start wearing masks now. He stopped short of issuing an executive order to that effect, but my guess is that such an order is only days or perhaps weeks away. I'll come back momentarily to Trump's remarks at that press conference. But first, I find it very interesting that, and actually rather amusing, that just a few hours before Trump's televised press conference, former U.S. Congressman from Texas, Dr. Ron Paul, we know as the father of current Tennessee Senator Rand Paul. Of course, we know Ron Paul ran for president, I think, back in 2016 and before that as well. But he posted his weekly Liberty Report yesterday to his website, blasting the official COVID case numbers full of holes, which official numbers, of course, the liar Donald Trump is touting as a pretext for his march toward all-out fascist tyranny. The title of Ron Paul's report was Big Holes in the COVID Spike Narrative. It was a rather short report. I'm going to read a portion of it here. First, he asked the question, motorcycle accidents ruled COVID deaths? In the rush to paint Florida as the epicenter of the second wave of this COVID outbreak, government officials and the allies in the mainstream media have stooped to ridiculous depths to maximize the death count. He said a television station this weekend looked into two unusual COVID deaths among victims in their 20s. And when they asked about comorbidities, which is the presence of two chronic diseases that led to the death, caused the death. When they asked about comorbidities, they were told one victim had none because his COVID death came in the form of a fatal motorcycle accident. And Ron Paul said, sadly, this is not an isolated incident. In fact, this so-called spike that has dominated the mainstream for the last couple of weeks is full of examples of such trickery. He wrote, Washington State last week revised their death count downward last week when it was revealed that anyone who had died for any reason whatsoever and who also tested positive for COVID had been listed as a COVID-19 death, even if the death had nothing to do with COVID-19. We're hearing about this all across the nation, reports from nurses and doctors. I told you guys about the report I got from a nurse over in Missouri when we were on our trip. Ron Paul says, in South Carolina, the state health agency admitted that the spike in COVID deaths was only the result of delayed reporting of suspected COVID deaths. Delayed reporting. So that's what this spike is. They're now finally reporting suspected COVID deaths. An analysis of daily reported COVID deaths last week, writes Ron Paul, compared to actual day of death in Houston, revealed that the recent spike consisted largely of deaths that occurred in April and through June. And so he asked the question, why delay reporting until now? He says, we do know that based on this spike, so-called spike, the Democratic mayor of Houston canceled the Texas Republican Party convention. And he asked the question, mission accomplished? He said, doesn't it seem suspicious that so many states delayed reporting until Fauci and his gang of experts announced that we are in a new nightmare scenario? And I would add in here that Fauci did that this past July 9th at the Hill's so-called Future of Healthcare Summit, where he remorsefully apologized that we are so soon in the very type of worst nightmare scenario that he defined a year ago in response to a reporter's question at last year's summit. Fauci said, not to be hyperbolic about it, it really is the perfect storm infectious disease and public health person's worst nightmare. It is a spectacularly transmissible virus. The efficiency with which this transmits is really striking. Yeah, well, then why do they have to inflate the numbers? Fauci's a liar as well. Back to Ron Paul's report. Last week in Florida, not coincidentally the location of the Republican Party's national convention, another scandal emerged when hundreds, listen to this, hundreds of COVID test centers reported 100% positive COVID test results. Orlando Health reported a positive rate of 98%. 98% were testing out positive. But then he said, but further investigation revealed a true positive rate of only 9.4%. So they were multiplying that rate by 10 times. He said these anomalies were repeated throughout the state. COVID-19 cases once meant, at one time they were first defined, as individuals who showed sufficient symptoms to be treated in medical facilities. He writes, but when the scaremongers needed a second wave, they began reporting any positive test result as a COVID case. No wonder we have a spike, he says. And then he writes, he says, faced with a virus that's killed about one-third as many people as the normal seasonal flu virus in the 2018 season, Texas Governor Greg Abbott has endorsed a partial shutdown of the economy, resulting in millions tossed into the despair of unemployment, and he mandated that people wear face masks. He says, neither shutting down bars nor forcing people to wear masks will have any effect on the progression of the virus through society, but at least he looks like he's doing something, writes Ron Paul. So in just a few hours after Ron Paul released that report, Donald Trump then held a televised news conference, which he opened with these words. Well, thank you very much and good afternoon. Today I want to provide an update on our response to the China virus and what my administration is doing to get the outbreak in the Sun Belt, under control. By the way, they initially said that we shouldn't have any problems in the Sun Belt because this virus doesn't like heat. And so it's going to be worse in the north. Now they're saying it's worse in the Sun Belt all of a sudden, perhaps because that's where the Republican convention was going to be. And then he says it seems largely in the Sun Belt, but could be spreading. So that's a complete flip-flop what they said earlier. He said he's working on the next economic relief package and said, we'll protect our workers, our schools, and our families, and protect them very strongly. Thank you. We need that, don't we? Donald Trump says, as one family, we mourn every precious life that's been lost. I pledge in their honor that we will develop a vaccine and we will defeat the virus. I pledge in their honor we will develop a vaccine. He sounds almost like Hillary Clinton there, doesn't he? It takes a village. Thanks anyway, Mr. Trump, but we're not in your family. And far fewer lives, by the way, have been lost in this than are lost in a typical flu season. And so the last thing we need is help from Washington, D.C. This alleged China virus poses no threat to society in general, and there is no need for any vaccine. But beyond that, Trump said this, my administration will stop at nothing to save lives and shield the vulnerable, which is so important. Oh, by the way, I'm just excerpting from a rather long message he brought. He said, we've learned so much about this disease, and we know who the vulnerable are, and we are going to indeed shield them. We don't need a shielding. So again, the vaccines are coming, and they're coming a lot sooner than anyone thought possible by years. If you look at the old system, look at the new system, I think by years. He doesn't tell us what this new system is, but they got a new system. He said, the China virus is a vicious and dangerous illness. But we've learned a great deal about it and who it targets. Then later in his speech, he said, young adults may often have mild or even no symptoms. After he said, it's a vicious illness, dangerous and vicious. They said, young adults may have often have mild or even no symptoms. They won't even know they're sick. They won't even have any idea that they have a virus. They won't have any idea at all, said Donald Trump. He said, we are in the process of developing a strategy that's going to be very, very powerful. We have developed them as we go along. Some areas of our country are doing very well. Others are doing less well. He said it will probably, unfortunately, get worse before it gets better. Amen. It's not going to get better until Jesus comes. It's going to get much worse before then. He says, something I don't like saying about things, but that's the way it is. It's the way, it's what we have. If you look all over the world, it's all over the world, and it tends to do that. He said, America's youth will act responsibly. Yeah, they're all wearing their masks, aren't they? Yeah, they've been trained very well the last couple generations in their public schools. He says, and we're asking everybody that when you are not able to socially distance, wear a mask, get a mask. He's telling us all to wear a mask. He said, whether you like the mask or not, they have an impact. They'll have an effect. Yeah, they'll make it so you can't breathe. And we need everything we can get, he says. The relationship with other countries has been very strong. We're all working together. All working together. So yeah, we already knew that, Mr. Trump. This is a UN operation from the top down. Just like it says in Revelation 17:13, the kings of the earth have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. I've just got a couple more quotes here from this message from Trump. He said, we've saved potentially millions of lives by doing the initial shutdown. That's a bald-faced lie. We know that's a lie. He said, but now we're very aware of this disease. We understand the disease to a large extent. Nobody is going to maybe ever fully understand it, but we'll end up with a cure. We'll end up with therapeutics. We'll end up with a vaccine very soon. We don't understand the disease, but we'll have a cure for it. They can't make a cure if they don't understand the disease. We're instead asking Americans to use masks, socially distance, and employ vigorous hygiene, wash your hands every chance you get while sheltering high-risk populations. We are imploring young Americans to avoid packed bars and other crowded indoor gatherings. Be safe and be smart. We're surging testing capacity to identify. This is interesting. We're surging testing capacity to identify and isolate cases. This includes a newly approved testing platform to nursing homes across the South. Yes, perhaps that's why we've seen the results of that in Florida, where hundreds of testing sites are now reporting a near 100% infection rate. That's their new testing platform they've been working on with the states. So much for the newly approved testing platform. Two more paragraphs. Once this current surge in cases declines, the same testing platform will enable people to visit their loved ones after taking a test, which is a big difference. You can't don't ask it to visit your loved ones now. You need to take a test first. He says, ultimately our goal is not merely to manage the pandemic, but to end it. No, you want to manage the population and to end it as well. We want to get rid of it as soon as we can. That's why getting a vaccine remains a top priority. He says two vaccine candidates are entering the final stage of clinical trials this month. This was achieved in record time. It used to be years before you were in a position like we are in right now. Four other vaccines will enter final trials in the following weeks, and we're mass producing all the top candidates already so that the first approved vaccine will be available immediately. And then he says this, and logistically, we have the military ready to go. We have great people, logistic military people, a wonderful general who's waiting for the vaccine so they can distribute it in record time. That's what's going to happen, said Donald Trump. So our military is all set to go. End quote. So then, Mr. Trump plans to use the military to distribute this alleged vaccine that will help nobody that isn't needed in the first place. And we have very good cause to believe that the reason he plans to use the military is because that vaccine will be mandatory for all citizens. And the powers that be know and expect that there to be widespread opposition and refusal to submit to it. And that's why he's using the military to enforce it. This is coming from the man that promised to make America great again. And all of this is being done based on a complete lie and a huge, well-orchestrated global hoax. But I remind us that the Bible says that the Antichrist will deceive those who dwell on the earth, all the nations of the earth, by the way, into taking the mark of the beast. We read earlier where Revelation 13, verse 14 says, "And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do inside of the beast." I mentioned in a message last April that I did not believe Donald Trump's lies that this present COVID-19 pandemic would go away soon, and that it would eventually lead to full-blown implementation of the Mark of the Beast, Revelation 13. And at this point, that appears to be precisely where all this is headed. They won't let this go away. They're relentless. I cited in that message to Revelation 19, verse 20, that says, "And the beast was taken," this is at his defeat, "and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." That verse says those who submit to taking the mark will be deceived into doing so. They'll say, "You need this to survive. You know, we're from the government. We're here to help you. Don't worry. We'll take very good care of you indeed," says Donald Trump. And now Donald Trump says, "As one family, we'll protect our workers, our schools, and our families, and protect them very strongly indeed. We mourn every precious life that's been lost. I pledge in their honor to develop a vaccine. And we'll use the military to do that." Which, by the way, I'll say this also. He will have no opposition from the Democrats in administering that vaccine. And speaking of Democrats, by the way, I don't believe for a minute the media lies that Joe Biden is ahead of Donald Trump in the polls. I don't think that matters anyway. And my prediction is, again, if there are even is an election in November, Trump's going to come out way on top. And that's because Donald Trump can coax far more dumbed down, ignorant, professing, make-believe Christians into submission that Joe Biden never could do. Who would have thought 20 years ago that such a thing as this hoax could be pulled off in America, the so-called land of the free and home of the brave? We're about to find out who the truly brave ones are in this land. And it's going to be those who, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, have the courage to set their fear aside and say that we'll burn before we'll bow. Personally, I believe the vaccines that Trump says they are working on were already developed before the staging of this alleged pandemic, such as those that have already been patented by Bill Gates and others. And I also suspect that the only thing they're working on is mass producing enough of those alleged vaccines so that they can be administered en masse by the U.S. military. Here's more news that came out just this afternoon as I was putting this message together. This is from the Washington Post. I'm sure others are carrying the story as well. Live updates: U.S. reaches deal with Pfizer Biotech to distribute potential coronavirus vaccine. This came out today at 2:38 p.m. Pfizer and BioNTech will supply the federal government with 100 million doses of a coronavirus vaccine under a $1.95 billion deal. A lot of money there. What is that? That's like $1,000 per dose. Wow. No, $2,000 per dose. That's a nice profit there. The biotech companies announced Wednesday the agreement via the Trump administration's Operation Warp Speed vaccination effort. Warp Speed, remember that? Would allow the government to acquire an additional 500 million doses, a lot more than our population, of the vaccine candidate, provided it has proved effective and secures regulatory approval. The contract was announced a day after the United States reported more than 1,000 coronavirus-related deaths, and President Trump offered a grim acknowledgement that the pandemic will probably, unfortunately, get worse before it gets better. The article says more than 65,000 new coronavirus cases were reported Tuesday, all based on this trumped up reporting, adding to a nationwide tally of nearly 3.9 million since the crisis began. That's all trumped up, et cetera, et cetera. But so the vaccines are coming. But for right now, America's Fuhrer, Herr Donald Trump, wants us all to wear our masks and maintain proper social distancing guidelines. And therefore, I would just remind us all of the words that we read earlier in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. That word exploits there in verse 32 is in italics, meaning that the King James Bible translators wanted us to know that the word is not in the original. It was added in to clarify the precise meaning of the word that is in the original text, here translated simply as do. It means the people that do know their God shall be strong and do. They will take action. True Christians will know what to do. That means they will take action to resist the tyranny of this wicked man of sin that comes on the scene shortly before our Lord's return. And it means that like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, 8 chapters earlier in chapter 3, they're willing to say, we are not careful. We're not afraid to answer thee in this matter. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Along these lines of resistance, I got a great email today with a great article written by J.D. Hall, who runs the Pulpit and Pen Ministry. That's a great website, Pulpit and Pen. Great website with great articles exposing the apostasy that exists in the evangelical circles these days. The title of today's article is this: Masks Are an Eschatological Dry Run for the Mark of the Beast. Great article. And after I read the article, I wrote him back an email. I said, this is one of the best articles you've ever written. He's written a lot of good articles. He opens the article with these words: I've hesitated to write this article because I can feel the guffaws coming, but those guffaws are now quieted by masks, which do far better at muzzling chortles than germs. So I love that. So I now care less than I used to about your guffaws. He said, this is the thesis. Mask directives are an eschatological dry run for the mark of the beast. And if you don't think so, you're insanely naive. That opening drew a big vocal amen from me right off the bat out loud. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. J.D. Hall goes on in this article to explain that he's not the type of writer to focus on Bible prophecy or eschatological issues like some guys just focus on all the time. He said you can use the search function at PNP, Pulpit and Pen, and discover that, quote, Mark of the Beast has only been the subject of a few articles out of tens of thousands, and each one makes a mockery of hyper-charismatic snake oil salesmen who use the topic as a sales pitch for their venereal disease elixir. Guys like Steve Quayle for their survival products. He said, those who see the mark of the beast in every news story or technological advance have received nothing but derision from me for their prophetic sensationalism and failed soothsayery. So additionally, you'll find that I have always instructed readers to make eschatology the caboose of your theology and not the engine. Amen. We are to serve the Lord Jesus and follow his every command. That's what needs to be our primary focus. He says, again, I've done nothing but roll my eyes at end times timelines behind the pulpit, late great planet Earth type prophecies, and the endless parade of here's how fill in the blank news story fits into Matthew 24. He then says, though, I am a historic premillennialist, which, amen, so am I, so are we. Historic premillennialist, which means not a dispensationalist. But most wouldn't know it, he says, because I speak of it that rarely. Indeed, I believe Jesus is returning to rule the nations, raise the dead, and judge in righteousness. But how those things will unfold, I placed into a tertiary camp, so long as we can admit that full preterists are heretics, amen. Postmillennialists ought to chill just a bit on reconstruction. Amillennialists should stop being so smug, just saying. And then he says, and dispensational premillennialists get weird with their charts and graphs. I'm looking at you, John Hagee, he says. Did I offend anyone yet? He then continues that theme of several more paragraphs, and then he gives a very powerful argument that what we are seeing happening now is laying the groundwork for a full-blown implementation of the Mark of the Beast. I'm going to cut out some of this. I've got a few more paragraphs to read, but I want you all to hear what J.D. Hall says in this article. You've heard it over and over from me, but it's good to hear other reasonable, level-headed voices saying the same thing. He goes on to say as follows. So without apology, I believe that Jesus is bodily returning, establishing a 1,000-year-long kingdom in Jerusalem, turning commies into his footstools, raising the dead, and unpacking his own good order, the cumulative end of the world as we know it. If that seems strange, he writes, consider that I also believe God became a man, took on flesh when he was conceived of the Holy Ghost, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died as a substitute for sinners, and rose again from the dead. He says, and secularists believe men came from chimpanzees, and Marxism might actually work this time. We all believe crazy things. My belief happens to be true. Anyway, what does the Bible say about the mark of the beast? The gist is this, he writes, prior to the return of Christ, his followers are going to become increasingly unpopular, and the world will grow increasingly wicked. It will be characterized by unruly children, self-centered vanity, homosexuality, and general ungodliness. Although all ages have had these sins to varying degrees, the generation before Christ turns will actually take pride in them, as this generation is doing. Gay pride marches, by the way. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, he cites and quotes. He said, Paul said, this I know also. Then the last day's perilous time shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The writer J.D. Hall then quotes from Revelation 13 that we just read. He calls it all small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, receive a mark in the right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Then he writes this. He said, this will be accomplished by incredible technology that allows the comings and goings of people to be micromanaged, and they will be excluded from buying or selling things in the marketplace. Of course, the technology is already in place for that. This is to accomplish a so-called soft extermination, basically starving out believers or forcing them to assimilate. After it's clear from muscling nonconformists into a corner by restricting their access to the market, a global, powerful government will then begin a hard extermination, rounding up believers and murdering them like dogs in a persecution worse than anything the world has ever seen, including the Holocaust. Then he quotes Matthew 24, verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. He writes, this will in part be possible by some kind of contraption, whether natural or supernatural, that will detect believing nonconformists who have refused to identify with the global grand poobah known as the Antichrist. It will sound an alarm alerting people that an authorized person is nearby. He says, you can figure out how that will be done because it doesn't leave much to the imagination in the period that we're talking about. Health ports, scanning temperatures of passing crowds of people, putting everyone into a facial recognition database. Even liberals in American cities are scared over this one and started to ban the tech. And they're now, of course, microchipping Lassie. He said, I'm not the prophet or the son of one, but I surmise it will be one of those things, combination thereof, or something eerily similar. He writes, almost done here with this quote. He says, when all this fails to round up believers for the gas chamber, people will snitch on each other. Even family members will turn one another in for not conforming to the government regulations. Then he cites Matthew 10:21. Now brother will deliver brother up to death, and as a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. He says, so yes, the mark of the beast is a real thing. It will happen, and it will happen just like we are now seeing. No, masks aren't the mark of the beast, but if you don't think this is a dry run, social experiment, whether organized by men or of the devil, for that eventuality, you are insanely naive, he says. In more than 20 states, you can't buy or sell without wearing a mask. Stores have up signs they will snitch on you to the authorities. Health departments have created snitching hotlines for your acquaintances who aren't doing it. Departments of Family Services have created policies about how to steal your kids if you don't comply. And worst of all, virtue-signaling evangelical leaders are demanding that you wear a mask to show your love for Jesus, or if you want to, quote, have an economy. He says, like, quote, Beardy McGoatface, referring to Ed Stetzer over at Wheaton College. And he posts a tweet from Ed Stetzer, a professor at Wheaton College, that says, wear a mask if you want an economy. This guy is a so-called evangelical leader just saying, just go ahead and take the mark. because he didn't believe in the mark. He's probably a preterist. He says, these jackhats will 100% deliver you up to the councils and tribunals when that great day comes, and they'll do so in the name of Jesus. How Stetzer could tweet such a thing without a single thought about the eschatological implication tells me he probably doesn't believe in eschatology at all, unless it's some kind of Marxist utopia he's betting on. He said, from what I ascertained from history of human nature, the chance of the mark of the beast being branded mark of the beast will be next to zero. No doubt it will probably be predicated upon some kind of appeal to public safety or the public good, called something like Double Plus Good Public Health for Happy Homes Initiative Number 3. For citizens to snitch on citizens as the Bible prophecies, they'll have to be convinced that you not having the mark will somehow kill them. Just as now they believe that us not wearing a mask is going to hurt them. He said, so he summarizes, so no, I'm not going to wear the mask. These mask mandates are nothing but practice for things to come. It's a testing and trying of government power, and right now it seems almost omnipotent. One more paragraph. If they are practicing for things to come, will you? Will you resist it? Will you practice? Will you resist this? Will you practice saying no? Or will you buckle under the slightest pressure to grab that Snickers bar for the low, low price of your bodily autonomy? He said, Jesus is coming, and so is the mark of the beast. Wake up, Christians. You mustn't slumber. That's how he ends his article. And to that, I add a hearty amen. I'll also add, as I've been saying for weeks, I'm not going to wear the mask. This past Sunday, I distributed that very cool O2 exempt badges we got from Brian Moonen. By the way, if anyone else needs one of those, let me know and we'll put in another order. I went into Walmart yesterday with my badge on. As I approached the front of the store, two employees at the door were there checking for masks. As I approached, I asked them how they like breathing their own exhaust all day long. Almost in unison, they said, it's horrible, they hate it. Then I flashed my badge at them and said, I'm exempt, have a nice day, and I kept walking. As I kept walking toward the door, they said, yes, you are, sir, have a nice day. Yes, you are exempt. Then as I was inside shopping, then a lady who was behind me riding along in her little buggy there said from behind me, where's your mask? I turned around and I said, I don't need one, I'm exempt. Would you like to be exempt also? And I tried to hand her one of our World at Risk tracks exposing the fraud. She looked at me from behind her mask like I was some kind of criminal. And I was glad she had a mask on. And then she emphatically said, no, sir. No, thank you. Like she was afraid of it. Afraid of my tract. I said, well, some people just prefer to be ignorant, I guess. And that was it. But afterward, I won't say what I thought. Afterwards, you think of lots of things you can say. I won't say what I thought of. But as things progress farther downhill, and as a probable executive order proceeds, either from Donald Trump or from Governor Ron DeSantis, that we must wear a mask in all public places without exception, and as federal police and army uniforms are stationed in every city to enforce such masking requirements as they are now actually in Portland, Oregon, and Chicago, I believe, I will then still say, as I've been saying for weeks, I'm not going to wear the mask. I sent out yesterday that revised exemption notice I put together, and if you like, we can put it up on the screen and talk about it later. But like J.D. Hall said, I'm not going to wear the mask. Furthermore, I'm also not going to allow a so-called vaccination with its Frankenstein, gene-altering, genetic soup created by devil-worshipping Satanists, pedophiles, and baby butchers like Bill Gates, made from aborted baby parts, sheep's blood, chick embryos, pig's blood, and all the other garbage they throw in that soup to be pumped into my veins. Not going to do it. I made the point that the sole purpose for the social distancing and masking requirements is for social conditioning and obedience training to try to make us all loyal citizens of their new world order. And I also agree wholeheartedly with J.D. Hall's perspective that it is a practice run for the mark of the beast. If I may say so, what we see happening right now is the mask of the beast. The mask of the beast. And by the way, it certainly gives us great opportunity to practice saying no when the military is sent out to vaccinate us and our children and our grandchildren. Because the mark is just the next logical step in the devil's plan. I just thank God we're on the winning side. And what all this means is that we will soon be seeing our blessed Redeemer split the eastern sky when he returns as promised, in power and glory. Back to Daniel chapter 11. The point of this message is this. Daniel 11, verse 21. In his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. It's quite possible now, moving toward probable, I believe, that this vile deceiver has indeed come on the scene and obtained the kingdom by flatteries, by saying what the people wanted to hear, making empty campaign promises he never intended to keep, and then, you know, going back on those once he's in office. So we read in Daniel 11, verse 32, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." This scenario, what's going on right now, will reveal who truly are the people that do know their God. The next verse says, "And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days." They're going to be silenced. They're going to be put to death. The powers that be do not want they that understand among the people to instruct many, as we read in this verse. The last thing they want is for us to wake up the masses of dumbed down, sleeping Christians who, like J.D. Hall says, are insanely naive, like many professing Christians I know, and who refuse to see that what Donald Trump and the powers that be in this nation are doing is preparing for full-blown implementation of the mark of the beast. I mentioned to you guys in the past about Brother Matt, who reposts our messages to his Redeemed KJV YouTube channel. I found out yesterday that YouTube deleted his reposting of our Unmasking the Scamdemic message from two Sundays ago, and then they sent Matt the following explanation. Quote, "YouTube doesn't allow content that explicitly disputes the efficacy of the World Health Organization, WHO, or local health authorities' recommended guidance on social distancing and self-isolation that may lead people to act against that guidance. We don't allow content that disputes the lies of the World Health Organization or that may lead people to act against that guidance." This is almost in direct fulfillment of Daniel 11, 32-33. The former days of the right to free speech are about to end in America. So far, we have not had our messages pulled down. Our site has not been hit. I don't know why. Jade mentioned Sunday. It's amazing that we haven't been shut down, but we continue to try to instruct many and get the word out. Let me read in verse 34. "Now when they fall, they shall be helping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries." There's going to be many wolves in sheep's clothing leading the sheep astray. "And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed." I believe that time of the end, the time appointed, is at the door and perhaps has indeed arrived. We all need to draw near to the Lord and do all we can to serve Him wholeheartedly in the short time we may have left. Like J.D. Hall said in his article, "Jesus is coming, and so is the mark of the beast. Wake up, Christians. You mustn't slumber." With that, I'll end this message and say a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the warning it gives us. We thank you for the strength and encouragement and the power it gives us over the devil. We thank you, Lord, that your word promises us that as our days are, so shall our strength be, that you will empower us as you empowered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to go through what they went through. You'll go through that fire with us, and that when we have to say, "No, I'm not taking that mark," you'll be right there with us, encouraging us to not submit. We thank you for the precious power of the Holy Ghost and the power of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.